Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 22nd September 2024. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at lesson 14, page 80. Okay, as usual, let us compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall proceed with the puja chanting. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafa, Namo Milafa, Namo Milafa, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Amesu micchacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, Let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukkani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, y'all can miss it, huh? Then now we shall continue from lesson 14 of the Heart Sutta book, page 80. Yeah. So today's topic, the subheading is Life and Existence Following the Five Universal Nature's Order of Pancha Niyamas. So this is a very important topic. This one is the reason why the Buddha's teaching, yeah, or we call it the Buddha Dharma, is very, very amazingly extensive and profound. Here, when we talk about life and existence, means this is the teaching that not only can allow us to understand life, but at the same time can allow us to develop the wisdom to be free from all suffering. to develop the realization of enlightenment in the here and now, so that we can transcend life, so that we can go beyond birth and death, so that life and existence can no longer trouble us. Yeah. So that is the reason why the Buddha's Dhamma or teaching is so unique and so amazingly beautiful and wonderful. Yeah. I used to summarize the Buddha's teaching as the secret of life, covering both the mundane and supramundane aspect. So when you understand them, you understand both the conditioned world and the unconditioned world, the law that governs the conditioned world and the law that governs the unconditioned world. And when you understand both, you understand life completely. Yeah. Then you can live life. Without understanding life, you cannot live life. And without understanding life, you cannot develop the wisdom to transcend life, to go beyond the samsaric process of birth and death. Mm. So here, the title, Life and Existence, follow the five universal order or Pancha Niyama. So this one refer to this mundane aspect of life, means within our conditioned world, or what we call the existential world, where we have our physical body and mind. We call it the form and mind. And in our case, it's a human being. We have a physical body and a consciousness or a mind trapped inside. And the mind got four aggregates. Yes, the mind is capable of developing the aggregates of feeling. It can arise the feeling aggregate to sense whatever that can be perceived or sensed through our senses. Then we also have the aggregates of perception. This mind can perceive through our seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. Then within these five basic senses, together with the consciousness, upon contact, we can arise what we call consciousness. We can also become conscious of life, conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And being able to be conscious is a very unique quality. Not all things has consciousness, has the ability to be conscious. That's why we are conscious being. Yeah. And we have a mind that can enable us to know the world, to interact with the world, to understand things, to perceive things, to arise the thought process. Hmm. That's why the other aggregates of mind is the Buddha called Sankhara, or everything that your mind can do, including all of your mental activity, mental thinking, mental formation, your mental states that arise when you stir or react to sense experience, then also all of your mental intention that you arise through your various views, opinion, conditioning and belief systems. So these four aggregates of mind together with the physical body give rise to the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. The form aggregate is rupa. So under the first aspect is our physical body. which have the senses. And this one is karmically conditional for us to arise, to come to this existential world, to live life, to go through life, to experience life. Of course, it comes with the whole karmic process. You have to be subject to the karmic process of moral causation. Then you will also come to know that this physical body and mind, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. They arise and they pass away following causes and conditions. When condition arise, things arise. When condition continue to sustain itself, things continue to exist. But when condition cease to be, the phenomena also cease to be. That's why everything within existential world, whatever phenomena, whether it's physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they manifest this universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, because it is dependent originating. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. So this understanding of the conditioned world is very important. Then the Buddha, through his great wisdom, realized that there are five pancha niyamas, or he called it the universal order of nature that governs all of life and existence within nature. The first two are mainly related to science, and now we can include technology, because of science, technology also come to be. Then from technology, it gives rise to innovation and other understanding. But these are the what they call non-spiritual law, or we call it the two great law of science. First is the Utu Niyama, means the physical order of nature. And this law defines how physical law behave, like all the scientific law of nature, especially physics, chemistry, and all the other related inanimate nature's law. Like Newton's law, what they call Einstein's theory of relativity, then quantum mechanics, and even electromagnetic field. Then we also have what they call gravity. All these are the physical law that governs our entire universe. So the scientists are still in the process of discovering and understanding new things regarding this Utu Niyama, physical law of nature that governs life and existence. Then within our planet, our Earth, we had the various what they call physical law that operate together with the other laws, especially the second scientific law, we call it the Bija Niyama, or we call it the nature's biological order, where all biological things and they are all related to the subject of biology, botany, even genetic engineering, etc. So all this that involve the biological order of nature, means like our physical body, the plants, the fishes, the animals, everything that have cells, biological molecules that have life, that can actually evolve and move, like what they call organism. So all these are part and parcel of the biological order, even the plants. Then everything within earth. Then we also have the physical law that can trigger off nature's disaster, like weather, earthquake, volcanic activity or eruption, or our internal earth core, because of fault line, everything, it can create the tectonic plate movement and shift, leading to waves, tsunami, extreme weather, monsoon. So the scientists realize when nature is being disturbed through their activity, it causes imbalance, lack of harmony. That's why now they are worried about climate change. They are worried about pollution. Then they are worried about activity that can trigger off very extreme weather condition that might be detrimental to our planet's survival. Then our planet's ability to withstand all the foreign activity or foreign metal like asteroid and other things that keep on bombarding our planet Earth. It is due to our nature, our planet's special blessed nature, because of our magnetic field. Because a lot of our molten center core is made of iron. That's why there is a North Pole and a South Pole, and that creates a big magnetic field. And the magnetic field, together with what we call the atmosphere, they protect us. Without this atmosphere, we would have been destroyed long ago. And without the magnetic field to play its great role, Earth as a planet would not survive that long. So according to recorded history, we have been around for very long. They are talking about 4 to 6 billion years ago, since our planet was first formed. So all these are part of understanding the scientific law behind. So scientific law, they got two. Physical law, Uttuniyama, and Bijaniyama, the biological order. Then beyond these two, we have the three other very powerful spiritual laws. And this one, as we have covered very often, the Buddha came to realize that the most powerful within the three is the law of karma. He called it karma niyama, the nature's order of karma, moral causation. Whatever living being arise, not necessary just a human being, it can any living, it can be any living being. Your thought process, your mental intention, which trigger moral causation, it will give rise to karmic activity. And whatever mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, trigger negativity of karma. It will lead to karmic negativity that will lead to suffering and downfall. Whereas when our moral causation is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, born of wisdom, with wholesome mind states, then this karmic fortune will be very wholesome, very beautiful. That's why this law of karma, the Buddha said, each and every living being that came into existence within this existential world or our conditioned world, we are all born of our karma, add to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this one, he asks us to reflect every day under our fifth daily contemplation. So when you know this, you must understand that karma play a great role in our life. So we need to understand that we have to take care of karma, otherwise our life, which depends entirely on it, will suffer. So when you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Because we are born of our karma, add to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So knowing this, we really need to take care of karma. Then how do we take care of karma? This is how the Buddha's teaching comes about. The Buddha said, do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of hope. The fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So this moral causation of you reap what you sow is very powerful. So when you understand this law, you understand life to a very, very major extent so that you can avoid the pitfall of suffering. Then how do we take care of karma? That's where the Buddha's advice come to be. Dhammapada verse 183. He said, Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sa citta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sasana. Sabbe means all. So, sabba papasa akaranang, he said, all evil you have to avoid, means avoiding all evil. Then, kusalesa is wholesomeness. Kusalesa upasampadan means wherever there is condition for wholesomeness, you must try your very best to develop them. Then the last advice is to purify your mind, sachitta, chitta is mind, dappanang, etang buddhana sasana, means these are the advice of all Buddhas. So first is to avoid all evil, then cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, then purify our mind. And basically these three advice are taught by the Buddha under his teaching, the fourth noble truth. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is what the teaching is, the meditation is. When you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to purification of mind, it will lead to precepts, it will lead to development of samadhi and mindfulness. Then when you have them, the Noble Eightfold Path, you can have right view to understand life, then right thought, right speech, right action, and then right livelihood to take care of your karma, to avoid all evil, and to develop goodness, wholesomeness. Then after that, the four right effort to purify your thought process, to purify your mind states. Then after that, samasati and samasamadhi to purify your mind, to develop wisdom, to transcend life, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now, so that you can not only understand life but transcend life, so that birth and death can be understood clearly, so that you need not come back to delusion to suffer anymore. So all this are the beauty of the teachings. Then the Buddha continued, is it? How do we avoid all evil? He taught in the teaching very clear guidelines what constitutes evil. He said the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, when they arise in your heart, it constitutes evil. And the translation for greed is from the Pali word loba. Loba is not only greediness, all of your positive craving, your whatever greed, covetousness, your positive craving, even your desire, your lust, your possessiveness, these are all within the evil roots of greed. Of course, it includes all our selfishness, our whatever craving or desire that condition us to grab, cling, try to own, possess, and have control over them. Then the other evil roots of hatred come from the Pali word dosa. Dosa means all your negative emotional mind state. Dosa is not only hatred, anger. It includes your jealousy, your dislike, your unpleasant sensation and feeling, all of your negative emotion. And this view is very wide, because malice, when you have ill will, negative intention, that tendency can really harm a lot of people, destroy a lot of people's life, and give rise to a lot of suffering, even envy, jealousy, hatred, very severe negative emotion. When you plan and scheme and do all this negative thing out of delusion and hatred, it gives rise to all this evil mental intention that can trigger off negative karmic activity. So these two, loba and dosa, greed and hatred, are already so powerful. And the third evil root, which is the base for all negativity, is of course sakkayaditti or self-delusion. So self-delusion, the Buddha used another word, moha. When you believe this form of mind is you, this so-called human being is you, it's a permanent, unchanging entity that can manifest as a permanent and changing entity, so that it can own things, possess things, and try to have control over things. That's why that sakkayaditti or self-delusion will give rise to the wrong view or wrong thought that says, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. Like the Buddha said, this only the fools lament, for there is, for this very body of his also doesn't belong to him. Then wherein sun, wherein wealth, wherein all this possession that you think you own. That's why he say only the fools lament. Then this third evil root, so moha or self-delusion, is very powerful. The ego, the personality, can trigger off the evil roots of greed and hatred, followed by what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, suffering, misery. That's why your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, all of these negative emotions that trigger of suffering, they are from this evil root. And from this evil root spring the other two evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why the teaching is very complete. When you understand these three, you have to be mindful of them. You have to contemplate onto them until they become very clear to you that these are the evil root born of sakkayadity, self-delusion. Then you have to penetrate the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Then you have to understand that within the conditioned world, everything is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. There is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, and cling onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No such thing. That is delusion. So this aspect of the teaching is very powerful, very, very powerful. Then you have to develop mindfulness, to be mindful, to be aware of all the mental intentions that arise within you and how they come to be, how you accumulate them through your form and mind, through your memory, through your brain activity, how you accumulated them via what we call experience that you have gone through in life, together with your conditioning that leads to all your belief system, views, opinion, and conditioning, and how you develop all this wrong view, leading to wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and coming negativity and downfall. Then see clearly how, due to all this wrong view that lead to the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action, you develop habitual tendency that continuously stir your mind, give rise to what they call mental reaction to sense experience. That's why there is no peace. Every moment of sense experience, you develop the like and dislike, the pleasant and unpleasant reaction and stirring of mind. And these are the first two evil roots of greed and hatred. It's also part of the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will that will trigger what they call mental negativity or hindrance. And this mind state will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why people cannot meditate. Their mind think a lot, react and stir a lot. And if you keep on doing this until it becomes so habitual, then how can you have the ability to be peaceful, to be in a state of equanimity, to accept the reality of the moment, to be with the moment, to live life, to understand life, knowing. And the Buddha called it heedless living. So heedlessness comes from delusion, that condition the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the evil roots make you ill, lead to coming downfall and negativity, and the entanglement of this coming negativity continue to engulf you, envelop you. Yeah. until it become a cocoon of karmic conditioning, which is so powerful, so strong. That's why most living beings, like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because. So you don't take care of karma. This negative karmic conditioning becomes so strong and so entrenched that you will not be able to free from that samsaric captivity of life. So the eternal birth and death, which is what they call samsara, will continue to haunt you for eternity, and you cannot break free from that so-called cycle. We have in our society the poverty cycle. When you are trapped within the poverty cycle, you cannot come out of it. You don't know how to come out of it. You don't have the understanding and the wisdom. So this one is the cycle of birth and death, because samsara, you don't know how to come out of it because you are trapped within the karmic cycle. So the Dhamma can give rise to the understanding that liberates the mind and free the living beings. Then you can reverse all this so that your mind state can become wholesome, beautiful, with right view, to straighten your view, to change the way you perceive things, you understand things, to develop the understanding to be at peace with all situations, all things. Then your mind, when it has that clarity, that peace within, the tranquility within, it will have sati, and it will realize itself as cease. Then enlightenment here and now can be realized. And that's how, without wisdom, without mindfulness, you cannot free, you cannot develop all this understanding. So the mindfulness is to allow us to be aware of this essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. Then from there, we understand life. Then we know how to live life. Then the other important aspect of the spiritual law are the other two laws. The law of mind, citta niyama, followed by the final one, the Dhamma niyama, means the universal order of truth as taught by the Buddha. So when you understand these two, you will understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, especially the law of mind, paticca samuppada, the law of dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena, how living beings get themselves entangled through this law. So the Buddha has taught this law, paticca samuppada, or sometimes it's called itta-paccayata in Pali. Or in the English translation is the dwelling, the law of dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena. So when we understand this law, we will understand how we function as a human being. So the first tooling is very powerful. The Buddha say, dependent on ignorant avijja, you stir your mind, you create sankhara activity, you develop contact with the brain. Then when you do that, it trigger off the third link, which is vijnanam, mental consciousness. Then when mental consciousness arises through your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system that you accumulated in your memory and your brain, which is not wisdom, you input the content. Then the third link, condition, the fourth link, means avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Vijnanam is the pure consciousness. Then when you input the content, vijnanam paccaya namarupa, the five aggregate of form of mind. And this one is the second aspect. The four aggregate of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, together with the mental form that goes into your mental perception, the external phenomenal, external form. Then that one becomes the five aggregates of form and mind. Then the whole Paticchasamuppada move. He said, dependent on this nama rup, the second aspect, there must be sense basis, otherwise it cannot arise. And when you are mindful, you are aware, you know there are sense basis, otherwise they cannot arise. Then dependent on sense basis, there must be contact of mind, sense data. And also what we call the treating, yeah? Upon contact of the sense basis with the respective sense data and the mind, these three trigger of mental consciousness, then the content went in, then it trigger off the karmic moral causation of what we call karmic activity. And from there, dependent on sense basis, he said, there must be contact. And dependent on contact, then the whole of content of consciousness that went in, especially the seven universal. The first one is, of course, feeling. That's why upon contact, feeling arise. Then feeling without wisdom, yoniso manasakara, it will condition craving. That's why Vedana Pachya Tangha. Then Tangha is craving. Craving condition grasping upadana. Then grasping condition becoming bhava. Then bhava condition birth. Means you become that. Birth is jati. Hence arise the whole mass of suffering. Rebirth come the whole mass of suffering. So if you notice is how you fall, then you will have to develop the wisdom to reverse the avijja, which is non-delusion, to root out ignorance. That's how you free. Then feeling become pure feeling, no more craving, no more wrong view, no more delusion. So this part of the understanding is very important. Then all this law, together with the last Dhamma Niyama, the law of truth, or all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. That's why all his teaching, we call it the Dhamma. So this Dhamma Niyama are the law of Dhamma or truth as taught by the Buddha. So when you understand this truth, like all his essential Dhamma, not only the three evil roots, he also taught the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties, then the four noble truths, the three turnings of the four noble truths, then all the various seven factors of enlightenment, four foundations of mindfulness, and all the related teaching that spin off from there, including the Noble Eightfold Path, etc. So all these are a complete teaching. Then when we live life, we experience them simultaneously. Not only karmic take its effect, sometimes because of the way consciousness has evolved and moved, it also affects the physical law. That's why the tectonic plate can move and trigger off tsunami, sometimes earthquake, nature's disaster, volcanic activity, and seismic movement. Extreme weather and condition which we witness nowadays, all the various type of hurricane, typhoon, by various name, and also forest fire, and great disruption to the ecology, the ecological system of our planets and other things. Then the massive pollutions and climatic activity that brings about what we call a lot of disaster all over the world. You can see them, you can witness them. In certain country, you have all the various El Nino effect, extreme temperature effect, and all those things. Then sometimes severe drought, heavy rain, floods, everything. Yeah. So these are the manifestation of all the physical law. And when the physical law is triggered off to the karmic activity, then the karmic law also come in, like the great tsunami of the year 2004. Those who are not supposed to die, even though when they are there, they didn't die. But for those who are supposed to be affected or die, for no reason, they will be there, even though there is no reason why they have to be there. So all this will happen. And you will come to understand all this when you understand the teaching and when you develop the wisdom to comprehend all this. That's why this part of the teaching is very unique. And the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching apart from this is not only everything is based on nature's law, it also doesn't need you to believe anything. You don't have to believe anything. All this can be investigated into where they are the truth. They stand up to investigation. That's why his teaching, his Dhamma, is very unique. He said, Ehi Pasiko. You can put it to test. You can investigate into it. And because it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. Then this teaching is Sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait for till until you die. Then this teaching is akaliko, he said, beyond thought, beyond mind. Then this teaching is opanaiko, leading inward to the heart. Can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. And all these are very unique characteristics. So when you understand all this, then you realize it's not like other standard teaching where you are told to believe in a great being, an almighty or what. No. Even the Panchayaniyama, he said, you don't have to believe. These are nature's law. You can investigate into it and find out for yourself whether it is the truth or not. And for him to develop such understanding and wisdom, it took him a long, long period of training. He called it almost 3 3/4 Asankhaya Kappa, means almost 4-world cycle. And there are some Samasambuddha who took 12-world cycle to complete the training. And because of that, the understanding is so different. So all this not only is very scientific, it is also very extensive and very easy to relate to. It is related to life, can be understood within life. Okay, with this explanation, now I will read to you. We go back to the beginning of the page. Then you will understand. 1.1, life and existence following the 5 universal nature of order. Order of nature, 5 universal nature's order, or order of nature. In Pali, it's called Pancha Niyamas. So the first thing I explain is within our conditioned world, that's why the word condition is very important. Paticchasamuppanna, of life and existence. Everything is condition arising, causal phenomena. Or they arise due to causes and condition, or causal phenomena, following the five universal order of nature. Or what we call pancha niyamas, namely uttu niyama, the physical order of nature, bija niyama, biological order of nature, kama niyama, the law of karma, then chitta niyama, law of mind, then dhamma niyama, law of truth. So this understanding is very important. Within our conditioned world of life and existence, everything is dependent originating, condition arising, or causal phenomena. Dependent on causes and conditions, they arise. When causes and conditions cease to be, they cease to be. When causes and conditions continue to sustain itself, it continues to evolve and exist. So this one is very important. That's why the Diamond Sutta explained the same thing. He summarized all of the conditioned world's teaching, is it? Each year you wave on, everything within the conditioned world is condition arising Dhamma. You wave on. Yeah. Then, Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying. Meng is dream, is dreamlike. Huan is illusion, illusionary. Pao is like a bubble. Ying is like a shadow. So Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying means no reality, not what you think. Because it's dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. Everything just arise and pass away, illusionary world, condition arising world, dependent originating world, not what you think. Then he say, Ru Lu Yi Lu Tian, like a morning dew and a lightning flash, where every phenomena is just like that. It doesn't last. It come and it go. Some last longer, like a morning dew. After that, it's gone. Then most of them is like our mind state and activity, like a lightning flash. This moment it arises, next moment is gone. Like the only reality within life and existence is the present moment, the highest in life. And how stable is the present moment? This moment you talk about it, it is gone, dead and gone. The moment it arises, split second is dead and gone. And the next one. And that is the only reality in life. So how real can life be? How stable can life be? Because within the moment, which is the highest in life, it is so transient. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. See that clearly. And when you understand that, you will understand the empty nature of existence, the illusionary nature of existence. Then the illusion created by time through the thought process, the mundane thinking created the illusionary time of past and future through memory, through thought projection. And the only reality is within the present moment. So moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? What are living beings doing? You cannot be aware within the moment to understand life and to live life. Then how can you cope with life? That's why most people are too busy planning, thinking and worrying about life. So much so that they are heedlessly lost in life. They may be conscious of living, but they are not aware within. That's why they are heedlessly lost in life. So when you are heedless, the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21 clearly spell out, heedlessness is the path to the death. the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance spiritually. That's why you must develop heedfulness, mindfulness, stability of it, leading to heedfulness. Otherwise, you don't stand a chance. So all these are the essential Dhamma teachings that you can realize and develop as a cultivator. Yeah. And through this understanding, it can transform you, give rise to a lot of wisdom and understanding. So now, after we have gone through all this, now I will continue by explaining how it lead to the understanding of the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. So I read again. Within our conditioned world of life and existence, everything is conditioned arising or dependent originating, or they arise due to causes and condition, or we call it the causal phenomena, following the five universal order of nature, or panchaniyama. So namely, the physical law, utuniyama, biological law, bijaniyama, law of karma, kamaniyama, then law of mind, chittaniyama, and law of truth, or dhamma, dhammaniyama. Hence, they exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, or impermanence, suffering state, and empty nature or non-self characteristics. The first two are scientific law, nature's physical law called utuniyama, or nature's biological order called bijaniyama. And the next three are nature's spiritual law called karmaniyama, or law of karma, chittaniyama, or law of mind, and dhammaniyama, or law of dhamma, or truth, as taught by the Buddha. Understanding this five universal order, or law of nature, implies having right view with regards to life and existence. And this right view will enable one to have great understanding and wisdom of our existential world. Understanding Chitta Niyama will also enable us to understand how we function as a human being, how our mind functions following the dwelling or law of dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, as taught by the Buddha. So this one I have explained. So I think by now you all should have clear understanding. Okay? So now, at least we finish the first part, which is the most important. The next part of the sharing is more useful also. It's also useful because it involves understanding our children, our next generation, the second generation kids. This come about was because during our sharing session at Wu Ping Xingse many years back, I think there were a lot of questions related to children, to dealing with their suffering that they entangle when dealing with their children. In fact, many have problem with their children. So this is part of the First Noble Truth reality. So this part, I need to explain a bit. What I wrote here is just a summary. Maybe I read to you the summary first. The children of today are mostly second generation kids of the millennial generation. And nowadays parents, they are usually overprotective of their second generation children. And they also tend to overpamper them in the name of loving them, protecting them, hence giving rise to all the related social problems. So this one is very true. The reason for this is mainly because nowadays parents, especially our decade, our what they call after our parents, that one is the what they call baby boomer years. That time, no family planning, nothing. So most of them have big family. They have a lot of children. So when they have a lot of children, they got no time to pamper you. Most of the time, you have to survive yourself. Just like myself, first generation kid, I need to come out on my own and establish everything on my own. Of course, my parents helped me during my early days. But after that, so many of us, 9 or 10 of us, we have to really develop our own understanding and independence and sort out our life. So as first generation kid, in fact, we are more fortunate. We didn't have the problem of being subject to their, what they call, over-pampering us or over-protective of us, worry about us, that this one you cannot handle, that one you cannot handle. No. Like what happened to me after Form 6, I supposed to come down from a small town in Alostar, up north, to University of Malaya to attend my tertiary education as a undergraduate doing civil engineering. I got nobody to consult that time. No internet, no handphone, nothing. Not much information. So I can only find my way through by trying to check with friends or seniors who has been there before. Then we try our very best to like try our luck. So at that time, we don't even know how to actually buy the transport to come down to KL. And during that time, there was no such thing as got handphone, Waze, Google Map, no, nothing. You have to go and buy what they call a map. We have a map of Malaysia with all the state. Then we have to zoom in and find out where University Malaya is. And all this, we have no idea. But we have to find our way. And because of that, we become more what they call self-reliance. And we have to cope with life, learn everything ourselves. We have to survive. We have to interact and get friends, classmates, or us around to actually develop understanding. But as first generation kid, we are more blessed in the sense that although life was more simple, but you can make it with a good karma and all those things, you came out beautifully. You are like very much more stable. Like you can survive all this on your own. Nowadays, kids, second generation, not so easy, although they have everything to help them, but they are more fragile. And most of them, because of their parents' overprotective nature and the way they have been pampered, a lot of things they take for granted, but how they have all those things, they don't know. Even a lot of my classmates used to tell me, they don't know the value of money. But to them, they think money very easy. Peer pressure. Classmate have, friend have, I must also have. Then a lot of misunderstanding will happen. I still remember during the early years, although I was blessed with my own children, both my kids, they were beautiful, and I don't have such problem. I know how to bring them up and handle them. But in between, of course, like any family, there are situations that need understanding to resolve and settle all this. Otherwise, it can be very, very traumatic. So because of that, I summarize the sharing for them. Then I read on. So as I said, the children of today are mostly second generation kids of the millennium generation, And nowadays, parents, they are usually more protective of their second generation children. And they also tend to over-pamper them in the name of loving them, hence giving rise to all the related social problems. This is especially so and common in families where their family members lack understanding for having close relationship with their children or with one another. They usually lack harmony. The key word is harmony. And the family members seldom have the opportunity or line of communication to talk and discuss issues with one another openly, frankly, and sincerely to resolve their life problem, like their relationship problem, their health problem, their career problem, their study or financial problem, etc. So that is where understanding is lacking. Then further up, do learn to play a role as responsible, good and wise parent. We are cultivating the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma or the great wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then share them with your children to guide them through life. Like what I have gone through, when you understand life, you know how to live life, you follow the advice of the Buddha, then everything will fall into place. Then later on, when you become successful, you can share your understanding with your children to guide them through life. So when I say play your role as responsible, good and wise parent, these are the key words. That's why I bold it. Responsible means your duty. Like the Buddha say, under the salutation to the Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, of good conduct, right conduct, wise conduct, and dutiful conduct, right duty. And that one is duty and responsibility as parent. So that is the part. Good and wise parent means you must have the Dhamma to understand that there are karmic causes and conditions for them to become your children. Some they come to you because of the good aspect of the karmic process. That's why they are here to actually be a blessing to all. There is a lot of harmony, a lot of understanding and love. Then the harmony within is very beautiful, very meaningful. And there is seldom misunderstanding or argument or whatever confrontation that leads to hatred, anger, and evil root. So these are the karmic death or karmic conditioning. But if you have been good and wise parent before, then you will come with all this understanding. We are cultivating and understanding the Buddha Dhamma, or great wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then share them with your children to guide them through life. So first is your duty or responsibility of parents are to provide for their basic need so that you do your duty, like their food, shelter, clothing and education, etc., or the necessity of life when they are young, but not to pamper them or be too protective of them. So this is very important. Because you do these two, when you start to pamper them and protective of them, then you actually make them weak, spoil them. And in future, you have parents that do the same to you, then you entangle yourself in life. That's why you must have all this understanding. Means provide for them, care for them, love them, support them, but not to pamper them and be too protective of them. Sometimes you need to like understand that they are alive. You need to let them live. Means let them make their life decision so that they are responsible for what they decide. And as parents, our duty is just to support them, provide them with the basic necessity to start of their life. Then from there, you only advise. You don't force things upon them. You don't interfere with whatever they want to do with their life. That one is very important. Otherwise, karma is you reap what you sow. So to you, you may think it's good for you, good for your children. But when the karmic process come back, you have parents that do back the same thing to you, and you may not be happy. I have encountered a lot of this type of people who came to me, cannot resolve all this, especially their children's marriage and other things. And they like to interfere with their children's marriage life, even who they get along with, who they want to marry to. And sometimes after they agree already, when they want to talk about wedding, again, a lot of misunderstanding and conflict. And many things just backfire and didn't work out and cause a lot of unnecessary suffering or misery to not only the younger generation, to the elder too, both the in-law and the other side. Some become very like, it finally cannot be resolved until a lot of hatred and misunderstanding arise. So this is what you need to be careful. So here, when I say advise them accordingly, is very important. And then allow them to make their own decision in life. Because the key understanding, it is their life, understand now. And let them be responsible for their own life decision. And never force them or try to control them in any way that will cause them to dislike you or refuse to talk to you or discuss important personal matter with you. That's why a lot of this type of situation, most parents, they don't know how to resolve them. But you need Dhamma understanding and wisdom to develop the understanding to resolve them. Okay, this part I think we can stop here because it's almost 4:20 already. We can go for our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So I will mark this space here. We stop here. Part 2, Heart Sutta, Lesson 14. Remember the four support. Relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Then don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. And let the mindfulness settle down, stabilize. So the third support is stabilize the awareness within. Then after that, continue to let the mind relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize. Then after you have stabilized it, skillful, then you can do the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditative movement or internal activity that will lead to the ability of your awareness nature to detect your gateway to your nature. Then that fourth support, which is trust, you just silence everything and stay at your heart area. Whatever you can detect, whether any vibration around your heart area or the heartbeat or what, you just stay with it and let it stabilize. Until it becomes very quiet, very still, until like no more activity, then it will stabilize. Then it will suddenly detect. Then a lot of things will happen. Then the person who go through all this will develop the understanding. You can slowly mindfully come on the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. Now we'll continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question or Dhamma discussion topic that you may have.
Hello, Amitabha,
Brahadio,
and Mrs.
Yeah.
Teo, and all Kayamitas.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Alicia, for allowing me to talk. But actually, while Brahadio was talking about this lesson, right? What really struck me is about this law of karma. I do not know why, Brahadio, this law of karma keep coming to my mind, you know, keep coming to my mind. Let me kind of recollect what I wanted to share. The last time I was talking about the unique Dharma code, is it, Brahadio?
Yeah, unique Dharma code, the Thursday class, yes.
But anyway, what really struck me today was the law of karma. Because you see, someone sent me some video about law of karma recently also. But the thing is, I didn't really go in and look into it and understand the video yet. I guess the person also wanted to help me to understand the law of karma and things like that, because I was telling, sharing with Brother Teo, I am very sensitive to these coming obstacles, you know. Especially in the recent months and the last 1 year or so. What I wanted to say here is, because also in previous Brother Teo's Lotus Sutra teaching, right? Brother Teo was also sharing in that Lotus Sutra. You see, we cultivators, right? Although we are true cultivator in that sense, but our level of understanding of karma is still limited, you know. We are not like the Buddha. We are not like the Buddha. Even for those arahants of during Buddha's disciples, right, during the time of the Buddha, his disciples, although they have the so-called the wisdom eye, to see, divine eye, to see the past life, right? They also cannot see so far, you know, as the Buddha. Yeah. They only limited to don't know how many eons of time, you know, and then beyond that, they cannot see. So their conclusion of the karma, right, the story of the karma past life, also limited, so they cannot see beyond that period, right? So they make the wrong judgment also, you know, wrong judgment and wrong conclusion in that sense, that the story is like that, you know. You know, so from that, you see, we can be limited by our own how you call that. I mean, they have the divine eye, but I don't think we have that kind of divine eye that can see the past karma. You know, for me, I only experience the coming obstacles at this point in time. I don't even know what is my past karma, you know, that triggered this obstacle for me to discover the experiential experience, you know, in the conditioned world, and then how I transcend this conditioned world to the pure awareness to purify my mind, you know, in order to not suffer, you know, Brother Teo. So I cannot confidently accept what they share in a video, because everybody is different and their understanding may be limited what they all know different at that level. So if I just accept blindly what they say, they tell me, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm not doing what the Kalama Sutta tell me, you know. Investigate for yourself, you know. Buddha already said, even with those disciples with divine eye can see the past life, also make wrong conclusion, so what more about me and people that share those videos, you know? So I'm a bit skeptical in that sense to accept what they say as the truth, right, you know, Bradio, unless you can investigate into it yourself, and everybody's karma is different. So this person may tell you, based on their personal experience, this is their karma that they understand, you know. It could be true to that extent, you know, but that doesn't mean that it's the full truth, you know. Because they don't have the encompassing like the Buddha, you know. Eons,
knowing,
eons, you know, all knowing, you know, all knowing of the past lives, you know, of every sentient beings, you know. Beside himself, you know, knowing himself, his past karma, plus other people as well, you know. So for me, I cannot accept blindly, you know, what they say. I mean, I'm not saying that what they say is wrong. So it's very personal experience, their own karma that give them the kind of karmic understanding, you see? You know what I mean? So for me, I experience my own karma, so I understand my own karma. You experience your karma, you know your understanding. So both of us may have a different understanding of how it is, you know, for individual. But that doesn't mean either one of us is wrong, lah. But we are right up to what we know to our level of understanding, you know.
That one is very true.
So that is what I want to share. Is like because the person is like, oh, this one, you must listen, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I will listen, but I didn't say that. I mean, it's good to listen to understand their experience, their sharing, you know. But I also want to caution, you know, everybody is different, you know. So it may be true for that person, doesn't mean it's true for you also, you know. Because at this level, your understanding is up to this, you know. So it's very difficult to say, you know, unless she's a Buddha, I can say, yeah, correct, you know, the kind of thing, you know. So what I'm saying is, for my understanding, it's up to this level, you know. For Buddha, is much, much higher, you know. So he is encompassing, engulf everything, you know. So, like what brothers you also said, like, you don't have to believe anything. You have to investigate yourself to understand, you know, how you entangle with karma, like, in your past life, and then brings you to where you are today, and you experience it also, like, you know. And then whatever you do this life also, you will experience in your future life, you know, because you have not been enlightened yet, you know, the kind of thing. So that is what I want to share about the karma, lah. But other things about karma, about this purifying your mind, brother, often say purifying your mind. What I want to share about purifying your mind, you see, is purifying your mind, you know, a lot of people, I mean, when I don't say a lot of people, say myself first, when I learn about avoid evil, do good, and purify your mind, to me, I don't really understand what is purifying your mind, until most recently, because of the karmic test and what I have to so-called discover through experiential karmic test, right? So I can understand this word more clearly, more vividly, what you mean by purifying your mind, you know? Okay. I mean, I will explain in my understanding, through my experience, experiential experience. So what I discover through this experiential, right, is like when your mind, this mundane mind, as you are hit by this karmic, right? Your mundane mind is sucked into it, you know, it's sucked into it. And then if you do not have the yoniso manasikara, the wisdom, you will be entangled inside, go in circle, right? So until you have this yoniso manasikara that prompt you, stop suddenly, you suddenly realize, this is coming, you know, this is coming. And then after that, you will transcend to the pure awareness, you know, your mind will shift into the pure awareness. Pure awareness actually will let you see whatever subject to arising is subject to
nature
sensation. So this is the purifying your mind means, you know, it
Yeah,
give
yeah,
you
yeah.
that understanding of whatever is subject to arising is subject to cessation, you know.
Yeah.
So that understanding of purification, so that you don't suffer anymore. So that is what I also want to tell Brother Teo, that I always tell Brother Teo, I don't suffer, I don't suffer, but I don't explain why I don't suffer, you know. But that is the meaning of I don't suffer anymore, you know, because it purifies my mind. It
Yeah.
erases whatever nonsense I had experienced in the mundane mind, the conditioned mind,
Yeah.
it get erased, you know, totally wipe out, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
So
yeah.
it's like exhausting my so-called karmic seed that ripens, you know, Brother Teo.
Yeah, yeah,
So
yeah, yeah.
my this so-called karmic seed ripens, right? So I experience it in this mundane mind, this form and mind, I experience
Yeah,
it.
yeah,
And
yeah.
then with Yoninso Manasikara, I kind of stop the stirring, you know. The mind can stir.
Right.
If not, you will
Yeah,
just go in loop, you know, circle, circle,
yeah,
circle, you
yeah,
know.
yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
just like my sister when she was in the Wutaisan,
Yeah,
do
yeah,
all sort of
yeah.
funny thing, you know, that nobody can understand. How can you do this kind of
Yeah,
thing, you
yeah,
know, that kind of thing? Yeah, because it's get stuck inside, it cannot move out, you see? He got no
Yes.
Yoniso Manasikara that come
Yeah.
out, hey, you know, you're doing something
That's
sneak,
why
you know,
the
that is
karmic
hit you.
conditioning take over, so she
Yes.
lost in it.
Yes,
And
correct.
she
So,
just behave according to the conditioning.
yes, correct.
This
So,
is what the cultivator will understand. But after you come out of it, then you realize your life has become so different. Like things no longer is an issue to you. The moment you perceive them through your senses, that understanding, which is the wisdom at the moment of sense experience, it will prompt you, it will spontaneously arise. Then that Dhamma wisdom that you have contemplated or insight into or awakened to, that one will give you the understanding not to be deceived by it. Like what you came to realize, whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Well, this is a dependent originating world, conditioned arising world. Everything are causal phenomena, dependent originating, conditioned arising cause. So no reality. So if you deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, then you suffer where you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Then a lot of this wisdom that you have contemplated, reflected, they will spontaneously manifest. Means prompt you. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. That everything is of the nature to arise and to dissolve when condition cease to be. Then all the other understanding that we have contemplated, reflected, they will arise. It's just like my teacher Acharyantra, he said, whatever is of the nature to arise is only mighty nature rolling by. So when you understand that it's only nature's law that governs life and existence, like the Pancha Niyama, then thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Like karma, condition like that, things will be like that. Thing is just the way it is, suchness, ta-ta-ta. And when you can see things as they are, not according to your mundane perception, born of the individual's views, opinion, and conditioning or belief system, then your mind will not stir like before. Then the ability to be at peace will be there. That's why, like you say, your mind return to the pure awareness nature. Within there, there is no duality, there is no delusion. So the mundane activity, you will see very clearly, no meaning, because it's anicca dukkha anatta, like sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe sankhara dukkha. Means if you think about it and want things your way, you will suffer, because that is the way things are. So all this become very clear. Then sabbe dhamma anatta means no permanent unchanging entity, no atta, no mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of life and existence. So all this contemplative wisdom, you have to really stabilize it until it like become a part of you. Then whatever you encounter in life, you can spontaneously develop the understanding and free. That's why purification of mind is about purifying your wrong thought, your wrong view that condition your negativity or karmic activity and action that brings about suffering. So when you have that understanding, which is wisdom, that wisdom can purify the wrong view and straighten your individual view that can allow you to develop the understanding not to be affected by whatever happened in life. And this is the important understanding, means only wisdom free, nothing else. So all this you will stabilize and develop until what the day come, it become very stable, very clear. Then you realize, like the Buddha say, no more problem already. Whatever arise, you can not only come to terms with the reality, you have the wisdom to accept the reality for what arise, because you see very clearly, not so real, not what you think. Then no more delusion, no more entanglement, no more like all this phenomenal world manifestation got no more power over your mundane thought process or thinking. Then that supramundane mind with the wisdom, they are different. They have the Dhamma within that can liberate the mind and transform the cultivator of the way until they become very different. So all this is what purification of mind is all about. That's why we need to understand that purification comes from insight into phenomena and the wisdom that awaken through the first turning, second turning, and third turning cultivation. So these three turning give rise to the three type of corresponding wisdom. And all these three, they are very useful, interconnected and related. Different time, different like first turning or second turning or third turning wisdom, they can manifest at any time, especially after you have started the stability of cultivation and the base for receiving truth has been established. Then any of the three turning can trigger off understanding. And the understanding will deepen and become more extensive. So the first part is you can free your mind. Means the individual cultivator of the way has the ability to free the mind already. Okay? But the further wisdom is to develop the extensive understanding, the deeper and more stable understanding to actually become like very extensive in your understanding. Means you not only understand it to the level that is needed for enlightenment, but it has gone beyond. Means after you take the Bodhisattva way and from the moment you develop the understanding, the transformation will continue to happen. And all this understanding will continue to deepen. Whereas you weakness or come into contact with more and more people or through your sharing or whatever work that you do to fulfill your bodhisattva vows and all those things, you will develop more and more exposure and understanding. And also when you come every segment of your life, you actually interact with a lot of beings, cultivator of the way, great beings, nature, everything. Then every of this segment of the life, as you progress and you and develop the understanding, your spiritual nature become like more and more evolved, more and more charged up, until that spiritual nature become like very well developed. Then in future, when you come as a form and mind, another segment of the coming through the Bodhisattva way, then you meditate and develop the ability to connect. Then when you inherit from your spiritual nature, that understanding all will come back. And that's how it will accelerate your cultivation. Then life after life, you continue to perfect, continue to evolve, and develop all the understanding and perfection, which is very extensive. Then from there, you become like different. So all the great beings, the Sama Sambuddha, they all cultivate and evolve accordingly. Yeah. Then like you mentioned just now, the law of karma, don't worry about what people say. Because as you cultivate, you will come to have all those understanding. Initially, it's like you will understand the law of cause and effect, the moral causation, the five spiritual law, more and more, more and more, until it become like very clear to you. Then like what my nature went through, it will not touch psychic one. It will not like want to know like all those people have the ability to see past. No, for me, it's not necessary. Because all this is of the past. Yeah. But there are important understanding that you can develop or see very clearly from real life example. Means how all these people get themselves entangled and how this life, whatever that happened to them in their life, through what happened and their description and all those things, your nature will sense on will know one. In the past, very likely, this person, he has this type of coming thing. Otherwise, he cannot come and haunt him on. That itself is already very powerful, very good. That's why I can have a lot of Kayamita and all those who have first noble truth reality problem in the early days, even until now, resolve all their problem is because my nature know. And it can have the understanding. Then it can teach them to how to ask for forgiveness. Then from the asking for forgiveness, how to actually make the determination to follow the advice of the Buddha, not to repeat all this. Then start the cultivation. Then after they develop the cultivation, make aspiration for causes and conditions to turn around, to develop the ability to resolve all this karmic past amicably so that they can recover the good mind state to continue with their good life and cultivation and do whatever they aspire to do. So all these are more important rather than try to pinpoint, oh, in the past because you like that, you like that. Because, like I said, the law of karma is not one-dimensional or between two persons. No, it involves a lot of things. The entanglement, the interdependent and flow, they evolve a lot of things. Causes and conditions can be like very, very immense one. And people cannot understand one. But there are certain type of very strong karmic conditioning which you cannot avoid one, like what Mongalana go through because of what they did to their parent when their parent were blind and all. Those things, that one can be pinpointed, like due to that in the past, it is because of that they get into this thing and all those things. But apart from that, the play of karmic is not something very straightforward. You cannot understand. Sometimes it's not the same person. Karmic, it can be like that one. Like wherever there is condition, it will manifest. That's why you have to learn to understand causes and condition. Then you have to accord and flow with condition. Means without condition, nothing happens. That's why that word in the Diamond Sutta, yiqie yu wei fa, everything is conditioned dhamma. So everything within the conditioned world is conditioned nama. So all the interplay, everything is condition arising, causal phenomena. And this condition nama, they are very, very complicated and not easy for normal cultivator or the way to develop the understanding unless you perfect yourself until the Sammasambuddha's perfection, where you can have all the all-knowing knowledge or understanding of whatever that has happened, because it is their perfection that enable to have them to have the ability. That's why the uniqueness of a Sammasambuddha is at that life when they actually able to have that causes and condition to become a Sammasambuddha. When they take birth during that segment of their life, they have that perfection and that all-knowing understanding. That's why they can actually develop that understanding to share with the world. And that one, of course, is the uniqueness of the Sammasambuddha. Then the great being also, they already have their understanding good enough for them to do their work and contribute to the whatever role that they want to play while they come within that segment of their life. So all these are the important understanding instead of wanting to know all the detail and why like that, why like that. We have no point. To me, it's like what you come to know at your stage, Pucheng. You all may be at your different stages of cultivation. To you, it's like, yeah, this is Kamala, that is Kamala. But more important is you witness it yourself, like what you have gone through. First is you see your own. As you cultivate, like I said, when you reach the point where you are near to the awakening, then all this will manifest and show it to you. And that law of karma is like that one. Then later on, you will experience the condition for you to go through all the karmic tests. Then after you go through, then you start to understand how you become the way you are and how sometimes all this great beings that you have affinity with, how they manifest to protect you, to help you, to guide you, and to give you the blessing. So you will witness them, you will see them. Then through all this understanding, when your time comes for you to come out and share, then you will encounter more and more cultivators of the way who come to you, just like how you go to your teacher, how you go to all those great beings, nature, and how you receive their understanding and all things, and how you on your own evolve your own understanding. So all this, they will come into what they call a stability or understanding that you will inherit within your spiritual nature. Then as you continue to do this work as a bodhisattva over a long period, all this understanding, they will continue to accumulate in your spiritual nature. That's why, like I shared with you all, this segment of my life, this nature, when I inherited after 1989, I realized a lot of the things that came back to me, the understanding, I didn't learn this life. I didn't learn this life. But the problem is, if I don't learn this life, how can I understand them? That is definitely from that nature. That's why I realized that nature is very powerful. That nature that has the ability to transmit all this understanding back to your form and mind and continue with your training and cultivation, that one is the one that makes the big difference. And you will never lose that one. So that part of the understanding is very important. That's why I always use, like during the retreat, to tell you all, wisdom is unending. You cannot like say you have developed full wisdom already. No need to. No, because our existential world is a conditioned world. Different condition, different civilization, different manifestation, different world system, different what they call universe, different type of causes and condition or boundary condition will arise. And everything is different. That's why different civilization, you learn different things. And wisdom is not like the perfection. The perfection of wisdom to become a Sammasambuddha, that one can be accomplished, can be like completed. Yeah. But when it comes to developing understanding of life, your life is like unending, understand? There is what they call never-ending story. It's like the story of life is unending because it's within the conditioned world. And the conditioned world has its possibility, countless, limitless possibility. And all this evolve understanding. And that part, which is, we translate as wisdom, is unending. That's why the Mandarin or in the Mahayana Mandarin words, they also use the term 活到老,学到老, means no matter how old you exist or live, you continue to learn, means you continue to evolve the understanding. That's why to me, wisdom is very beautiful. Is unending and it's very marvelous. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. When you can come during the transition period or transition phase, especially this life, I look back. Well, I know my nature like to come during transition period, and I always come during transition period. And during transition period, you get to see weakness and understand many things. Especially for my era is the 50s until now, the 7th decade, which is the starting of the 7th decade. 50, 60, 70, still quite backward, quite primitive, but we have the condition to witness and see all this civilization of the 50s, 60s, and the 70s. And that time, surprisingly, we are really backward compared to what we see now. Then I also know at that time. But our education system not bad already. That's why when I was in Form 5, Form 6, I studied all those things. I was amazed by what the education system has actually evolved. That's why our planet Earth is very unique. Very, very unique. Our penetration of understanding of science technology has actually gone until very far, very much ahead of the spiritual field. Then because of that, we actually can come out with a lot of understanding of the universe. Although a lot are still a mystery, they are still probing and all those things. But if you have the understanding of science, you will come to know they have progressed very, very far. And a lot of things are possible. So because of what happened, after the 70s, after I went to the uni and I graduated from the uni in 1979, I came to see the real world, the career world, to go through life, to have the what they call understanding of life after you graduate, after you have gone through your childhood years, your education, then how you graduate from the uni and how you enter the career phase or that phase of life that you have to come out to work in the real corporate world and also society. Then how you have to interact with a lot of things. Then from there, I witness the 80s, the 90s, the year 2000. The progress was so fast, really, really fast. Then 2000 to 2010, again, very fast. Then 2010 to 2020, lucky fast. Then now 2024, 4 years, 6 more years to go before we hit 2030. The progress will even be more amazing and faster. That's why you get to witness all this, which very few people without the Dhamma understanding and the awareness nature within, you just like existed through life without much understanding of life, and you will not reflect and contemplate and see all this big picture, the transformation and all those things, the evolution of society, civilization, consciousness, because they don't have such understanding. They are limited to what their mundane thinking, mundane materialistic life and all this, and they are chasing and fighting over what they call to us is like trivial matter that doesn't really bring forth any meaning. And most of them are entangled and trapped within the chaotic condition world, the phenomenal world of consciousness, or what we call the PWC. They get entangled them. Only cultivator the way they have the understanding and the awareness and that nature can actually look back and understand all this and see the whole picture. That's why life can be wonderful, amazing, through that Heart Sutta saying, when you realize true emptiness, the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma, then life become wonderful. 真空妙有. In true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. So all this, you will develop the understanding. And that is the one that stand out. The big difference between a cultivator of the way and a non-cultivator. The non-cultivator, like, all deluded on, delusional on. Born deluded, go through life deluded. How they die also they don't know, and also deluded one. They still hold on to a lot of hatred, anger, vengeance, jealousy, and all the negativity of mind state that get themselves entangled deeper and deeper into the karmic process. And this is why being heedless is very dangerous. That's why heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So pay attention to that say. Determine not to be heedless whenever you arise as a living being. Whether you choose to come or you have to come. You must vow to have the Dhamma understanding. The important, essential Dhamma understanding, life after life. And this is the one that can support your cultivation, can bring forth the way. That's why taking the Bodhisattva vow, we are following the yellow card that I have prescribed to you all, is very important. So hopefully today, through what we share, we have to thank Sister Pujeng for bringing out all this. It will link the whole thing so that you understand the whole picture of cultivation, the uniqueness of the Dhamma, like what I share at the beginning, the life and existence, how the Panchaniyama and how it relate to all the nature's law that governs life and existence, and how we can reveal to you the beauty of life, the wonders of life and all these things. And how as a living being, we can realize our highest human potential to be a real blessing to all. So all this is the full spectrum of understanding the cultivation. Then when it comes to purification of mind, so today luckily Pocheng, Sister Pocheng brought out the thing, then I can explain more. Because purification is not about self-enlightenment or developing the wisdom to free the mind. That is just the initial cultivation, the sainthood way. Of course, that is very important too. That one is fundamental. Yeah, without that, you cannot continue with the bodhisattva way. You cannot move from there. But that, to me, is just the provisional teaching, the very basic understanding to free the mind, to liberate the mind. That one doesn't really lead to fully understanding life. Because within the conditioned world and the unconditioned, there are a lot more understanding that you can develop, cultivate, and perfect. That's why when you understand the full extent or range of the cultivation of the bodhisattva way, then you realize it's so much more extensive than the sainthood way or the teaching of the provisional teaching. Because the ultimate supreme vehicle teaching is the real teaching, and that one is the one that can really develop the understanding and transform that living being's nature to continuously come for the living being and teach people and train the living being and take them all across and develop this understanding to actually evolve the cultivation process for future generation of beings. So all these are very beautiful and very important. Okay, Pocheng, sadhu, eh?
Yes, sadhu, Brother Teo. Yes, Brother Teo, you cover extensively about this law of karma. Actually, for me, just like Brother Teo said, I don't really want to know what is the cause for that karmic test, you know. For me, it's more like I need to like liberate, free the mind
yeah,
from
need to
this,
go
you know.
Through because yeah. Otherwise you don't have the understanding to actually move through or break free from
yes.
Coming
for me,
encounter. Yeah.
Correct. But if I don't have that purification of mind, right, I'm trapped in the mundane mind, you know.
Sure.
So because when I did the test investigation, right, when I'm able to test it, right, I know that the pain is there, you know. But when I purify my mind, the pain no longer there anymore. It's disappeared.
Yeah, you can see the big difference.
Yes,
you are with the pure awareness nature.
Yes.
That mundane mind delusion that condition you to grasp and cling cannot come in.
Yes,
it's like
correct.
Separate the two is
yes,
separate.
Yes.
So when you are at the mundane level without the yoniso manasikara, then you get entangled.
Yes,
like
what
a living being go through. But when you have the understanding of the Dhamma already, that one straight away free you, then you realize not real. But the conditioned world is a conditioned world. These are all conditioned Dhamma, no reality. That's why anicchang dukkhang anatta, and anatta is empty nature, not only non-self, not real, no mark, not what you think. That one is very powerful. That's why you can actually straight away come to that realization. You don't suffer anymore. You cannot suffer anymore. But that one is an illusion. Not real, not what you think. That one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then all conditioned Dhamma is unreal, just manifestation of mind. Mind make a day. They have the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. So all this will become very clear to you as a cultivator who has gone through that cessation and the realization. That's why wisdom is very exceptional. When they arise, the cultivator of the way will know. That's why this Dhamma ipachetang can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu, right? The other thing that I wanted to share is about the mind, you see. You see, you no longer use by your mind, but you are using your mind, right? Okay, as and when you need it.
And
And
you no
then,
longer deluded by it.
yes,
And it
correct.
become a tool and a
Yes,
vehicle for you to
yes.
come and do what you want to do to a
Yes.
true life, experience life, fulfill your vow, perfect yourself, whatever.
Yes.
That is the true understanding. That's why it's a vehicle and a tool for you to come. Use it, understand, but not be deceived or deluded by it. Like the fifth patriarch, Huining. And when Huining heard about that, he came to Great Awakening. That's how he also developed the understanding. No more problem already. So this is the understanding that cultivator of the way will develop. That's why like now you start to understand. It's very, very beautiful. Sadhu.
Yes, sadhu. Yes, very beautiful in that sense, you know. And with the, I mean, the four creation that brother Teo show, right? So it's all about the mind, all about the mind. So when you no longer, I mean, how do I put it? You no longer use by your mind, right? You can return everything, you know. You can return everything stages by stages, and ultimately, there is no mind, brother Teo, you know. There is no mind, ultimately,
Because
there is no mind.
ultimately, everything is non-self, not what you think. The anatta nature, even the unconditioned, is just a nature. It's not a being. It's not what you think. That's why the four circle formation is very important. The first to come out from the source is the pure awareness nature. And from there, mind is a forerunner of all things. From the second circle, it moves on to the third and the fourth, which is existence, phenomenal world of consciousness, and the mundane activity of the mundane mind. So this third and fourth circle is unreal. They are dependent, originating, illusionary. That's why we call it the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Mind make adi, no real, not real. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. So all these are like illusion created by the mind. So once you have that wisdom, then the mundane mind realizes itself and sees. That's why when you are at a pure awareness nature through your awareness-based meditation, you realize the cessation. You realize the cessation of suffering. You realize that everything ceases. Because at that pure awareness level, there is no world, no duality, no emotion, nothing, no mundane mind, no mundane activity and thinking, no analysis, no reasoning, nothing. That's why you are peaceful, tranquil, still. And that is your true mind. Then you realize whatever that manifests from there, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of it. Then you realize fear is not you, anger is not you, emotion and whatever that manifests, they are not real, not what you think. So that one itself will free you. Then you will not be deceived and deluded by all those things that thought create. Like those cultivators who don't understand, they say, "Ayo, I still have anger, I still have fear, I still have worry, anxiety. How come after so many years of cultivation, I still like that?" Well, this is delusion. They don't realize their true mind. The true mind got nothing, and that's not. Like Hui Neng said, "But lai wu yu." Originally, there was nothing, empty. Then where can the dust alight? Then where can duality come to be? It's all created by the mundane thinking, the mundane mind that is deluded without the wisdom. Once you have the wisdom, all this reverses itself, and then it just the way it is. Thing is just the way it is. Following nature's law. That's why my teacher said, mighty nature rolling by. Not so real. Not what you think. That's why now the whole picture falls into place and you all start to understand. The four circle formation is very important. You have to look back into the four circle formation, the big picture. Then you understand that nature that first came out is not a being. It's just a nature. And this is the part of the nature's law. And like I explained, for each and every one of us as living being to come to this existential world, we need the karmic nature to condition the form and mind. That's why this form and mind is karmically conditioned. It's a vehicle and a tool for you to come. And it's dependent originating, condition arising. It's not real, not a permanent unchanging entity. Because if it's real, then every segment you come, you are one of that life segment. Then which one is you? You have taken birth and gone through birth and death for eons and eons of birth and death. It means countless, limitless. Which one is you? None of them are you. They are just your segmented form and mind that come through the karmic process for you to develop the understanding and evolution and transformation. Then when you understand all this, the whole secret of life is been understood. Then you know how to live life. Then you see clearly the three hallmarks of winning. The true mind, the pure awareness nature, which is without thought. Yeah. That's why the wu nian de jing jie, the stage of no thought, that is the first hallmark. That is to take you back to the true nature, the true mind. Then from there, awareness, pure awareness nature you cultivate. Then you will realize, not real, not what you think. That's why no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others. Then no mark of Dhamma existence, like what the Heart Sutta mentioned, in true emptiness, all this is to be. Then you realize the teaching match. Then when your mundane mind collapse, the third hallmark of winning, the mind that has no dwelling, yet the mind that has no dwelling is that spacious awareness, the oneness nature. So all this will unfold and you will develop the full spectrum of the cultivation and understanding. That's why the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, there are a lot of understanding and wisdom there. That's why when I share the Heart Sutta, I purposely incorporated that Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, where I realized the two poems that Huining and Shen Xiu created or come out with, they are so important, so beautiful, and so useful to develop the understanding. Then luckily also because of Shen Hua, they got the English translation of the commentaries of the Heart Sutta, obviously. That's why the whole sharing can actually bring about that book, the Heart Sutta book, over a period of 15 over months, I remember. Then we managed to transcribe it and make it into a book, which was all meant to be. Very good, watching Sadhu.
Sadhu Bratio for giving an overall picture of this four circles of formation. Bratio, what you say is truly, truly correct in the sense that when there's no mind, you actually see the pure awareness nature, which is not you, you know. There's
not a being.
Not a person.
It's not
a being.
It cannot come out and live like it's just a nature.
Correct.
Karmic nature, spiritual nature. That is your awareness nature, our nature that first arise. And it's just like the form and mind. You need a vehicle and a tool to come. And without the form and mind, you cannot link to the pure awareness nature. But this is set in the nature's law.
Correct.
So you need a karmic nature to condition your form and mind, a vehicle and a tool, which we call the living being, or for our case, a human being, to come. Then after that, you have to cultivate, to connect, and realize that pure awareness nature to link. But without the form and mind, you cannot detect the gateway to connect to your nature, your pure awareness nature. And from there, you cannot return to the source and cease. It's not that a being return. No, the mundane mind realizes itself and cease. Because from the source, all living beings arise through the karmic process. And that part, very few people have the understanding. And in fact, this is the secret of life, the whole complete spectrum of understanding of life. And this one, because our website, later on, a lot of people will appreciate this sharing, this particular understanding. Because the last two part about the existential world, you need the karmic nature, the condition of form and mind. That's, that part, so far, I haven't heard about any book or anybody talk about it. Because hardly anybody understand. Then after that, how you cultivate and develop the ability to connect to that gateway to realize the pure awareness nature within and realize the cessation. That process also very few people understand. That's why these two are the unique teaching that Maitreya want my nature to share. Then from there, more and more cultivator of the way can penetrate further, deeper, and evolve further understanding out of it. Okay.
Another thing I want to say, another point I want to say is that after we are sharing, based on my experience, right, when you connect to the gateway, right, that part, really, give you a very extensive understanding
correct,
of the
correct.
pure
It
awareness
transforms your
nature.
cultivation completely.
Yes,
You will
it
become
kind of
different. That's why after that, I used to tell you all, technically, you don't need a teacher anymore. Technically.
But we need to shorten our training,
definitely.
Right?
To shorten your understanding, to
Yes.
progress faster,
Okay.
if you can have a good guide or a teacher, it will help
Yes.
you a lot. Yes.
Okay,
That's why
the
I
part.
asked you all to make the vow, to create affinity with all the great beings. That is the reason.
Okay, what I want to say right here is this. You see, when you detected your gateway and get go through it, right? Okay, your understanding of the pure awareness nature is very clear and you can see
Very
very clearly.
different
Yes.
from normal
Yes.
people who
Yes,
did
yes,
not develop
yes.
the
When,
cultivation. Because that
correct.
one is a realization that the
Yes.
individual must realize on.
Yes.
You cannot use your mundane thinking to go and visualize or try to understand it. I cannot.
Correct, correct, correct. And then you can differentiate between the mundane mind and the pure
The
awareness
two
nature.
are
They
very
are different, yeah.
distinct one, very clear one.
Yes, distinct. Although they are very close to each other, but they are
Yes,
very different, you know,
they
right? Yeah,
actually
yes.
are interrelated very fast. They manifest
Yes,
from that
yes,
nature very fast. But you
yes.
have to be in that state of stability to observe and see and
Yes.
understand that it is the creation from there.
Yes, yes,
That's
yes,
why
correct.
Hui Ning, when he heard from the fifth patriarch, said, how amazing that all Dharma arise from that nature. This because from there, all things arise. That's why the Buddha saying also, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. That's why
Yes.
everything is created by the mind. Mind
So,
make a day.
yes.
Each way sings out.
Yes. Relative, the other thing, the point you mentioned. Despite Master Hui Ning is illiterate, right? He can come up with this understanding and share it with the world. It's truly amazing because it's from the pure
That's
awareness
why you
nature, you
don't
know.
need
Yes.
education to
Yes. Yes.
realize the Dhamma wisdom.
Yes.
Because
Yes.
it is beyond the wordsu, beyond
Yes,
words.
correct. The word is not the truth,
The
yes.
word is just the knowledge
Pointer,
that point towards the truth. But the truth has no word.
yes, correct. So it's so beautiful, brother, when you have this pure awareness nature that you penetrated, meaning you have detected the gateway, the cultivation is
You
totally
will
different, you
go
know.
through that phase of cultivation which is so different from the thought
Yes,
based one.
correct, correct.
Completely. Where
Yes,
the thought
yes.
based cannot understand one.
Yes, yes.
And a
That's
lot
why.
of the things that we share after the sainthood way, the provisional teaching, especially the Bodhisattva way and the higher teaching, most people cannot understand one. They cannot follow unless they have their karmic past.
Yes. So that's why the explanation of the dependent arising when we have the pure awareness nature is different from the
Totally
sainthood
different
way
one.
also.
What you
Yes.
see inside
Yeah.
there is
Yes.
totally different.
It's
Where you
different.
see your mind so clearly,
Yes.
manifesting
Correct.
all those things, all the links, they are very
Yes.
clear.
Yes, yes, correct. So because of that, right, your so-called explanation or the understanding is different from
Very different.
other cultivators that is
Yes.
just doing the sainthood, where we
Yes.
just have a glimpse of the pure awareness, you know, which is not stable, like Brother Teo mentioned, you
Correct.
know. Yeah.
Because
So
that
the
sainthood way one is actually just enough to free themselves. That's it. No more delusion, no more ignorance, but not enough to really understand life and to live life and to have the third phase of Dhamma understanding, the Pativeda part and all those things. Not enough. That's why,
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead. No, no, go ahead, Brother Teo.
No, you continue.
No, I just want to thank Brother Teo because time is up, Brother Teo. Yeah, yeah,
Sorry.
yeah. So I want to thank Brother Teo for this amazing, you know, profound
Today's sharing is very
teaching, you
good
know,
because the
yeah.
condition brought
Because
up by you.
yes, because this is a pure awareness, nature cultivation. It's not the normal cultivation that, yeah, it's different, you know. Yeah,
And
so
the
we
full
can.
spectrum of understanding now, it
Yeah.
become clearer and clearer.
Yes. We can go
And
into
what
the
I
depth.
want you all to understand is the difference between thought-based and awareness-based is so different, so extensive, so much more towards the understanding part. That's why today I share all this in much, much more deeper and clearer manner. And all these are meant to be where it has to come out. Otherwise, people cannot understand. And the next phase of cultivation for all those going through this Bodhisattva way, they cannot actually develop the progress further already. Because most of them are stuck. And I realize the Bodhisattva way teaching is like not clear and extensive enough. There are not much explanation. It's only I also don't know how to use word to explain it. Because the whole of that cultivation, the teaching, as you go through, there are so much thing to share and explain or not, like what we have gone through. That's why the last few years, after the thing came out, it's like meant to be all this teaching and sharing supposed to come out. We have this one without that understanding from that nature, you cannot share all this one. Well, all these are not written anywhere one. That's why I told you a lot of the things that I share with you, all that I understand, I never learned this life one. This life you cannot understand one. That's why you need to inherit from that nature. Okay, very good. I think we
Yes,
have to end with that.
very
Let
true, you
us
know,
rejoin.
because yes. Brother, can I just say one more thing?
Can.
Because what you said earlier on, I forgot to say, huh? What you say about this law of karma is not one dimension, it's multidimensional, which is very true. So we cannot in go into depth of it, huh, without that level of understanding or cultivation of our own personal one, you know. We cannot go into it because it's multidimensional, you know.
And
Yeah.
it was so many things.
Yes,
So what you
correct.
need is
Yes.
the understanding that law of dependent origination is like that.
Yes, correct.
Each way far, everything is
Yes.
conditioned. There are causes and conditions behind it. So very likely for a person to go through life in this manner is your past has a lot to do with it. That's why the Buddha said we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditions, whatever, and we are what we are because with this understanding, your wisdom is already good enough, can let you understand and help a lot of people already. That's why I remember in the early day, there was one fellow, Kayamita, who together with me cultivated one. She also quite good at that time. Then she was amazed, so he asked me, see, he called me Atiyo. He said, Atiyo, Anjokaya, how can you teach? Because so many people, all different, ask different questions, all say. I say, because my nature from the past, I have all this understanding, that's why I can teach, no matter who you are. At what level? That's why in the retreat note, you remember the starting, I say this retreat is for all level. Whatever level you are, you can come. You can just fit in. So all these are
True,
the
very true.
understanding.
Yeah, because Radio has always said it's very true. You didn't learn in this life, you know. So where did it come from? So it really hit me now that it comes from, it has to come from your spiritual nature, you know. Just like us, we do something that we are able to do something that we never learned this life. And then where does it come from, you know? I mean, I'm talking about spiritual kind of thing, not other mundane thing. It has to be from you inherited from your spiritual
From your
nature.
spiritual nature.
Yes, yes.
Then with your causes and conditions, you will encounter the great being. Of course, they will share with you. They will also teach you. Then you start to receive them. I remember in the early years, after 86, when Kuan Yin's nature came with the message, then later on, 208, Maitreya, then immediately after Kuan Yin, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come, you know. Everything fall into place. Oh. Then the moment I connect, I inherit, then the understanding start to manifest. Oh.
Yes, yes.
Then after that, all the scripture or Dhamma book, the moment I read, I understand. Oh.
Yes.
That's such
yes.
Thing, huh?
Yes.
That's why all this, they come from the karmic process and the spiritual nature. The karmic nature and the spiritual nature, these two are very powerful. They governs all of life. One is the mundane aspect, the conditioned Dhamma. The other one is the super mundane, the unconditioned Dhamma. So these two, when they come together, you understand the secret of life and you understand life completely and you know the full spectrum of life.
Mahasadhu, Brother Teo, Katan,
yeah.
Amitofo. Thank you very much. We exceeded
Sadhu,
the time. I'm sorry.
We should all rejoice.
Yes. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, we better end. Okay. Akasata Chia Pumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. Itta otta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hon dunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hon dunya tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca Vito bawatu loko ca Raja bawatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.